good to have Brother Henderson tonight preaching for us. And in the ministry over 70 years, just been a great counselor for me, and I appreciate him very much.
Since you do not read from the book of Ezekiel very often, I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 16. This morning, the pastor said to me, "Can you preach tonight?" And I thought to myself, well, they've had instant oatmeal, instant coffee, instant potatoes. I guess it won't hurt them to have an instant sermon. I hope you like the taste of it. Jerusalem, that great city that we revere, and if you, even if you've never been there, you love it because it's God's city. It was the place where the prophets lived. It was the place where the great temple was. It's the place where people went, walked for miles just to walk inside the city of Jerusalem. It was a holy city. But there was a time when they had three of the world's greatest preachers. They had Jeremiah, who could not preach without the tears streaming down his face. They had Ezekiel, who was a mighty, mighty preacher. If you read this entire book, you will agree with me. Sometime you will read it. And then there was the prophet Daniel. All three of these men were there at the same time. And all three of them were preaching, most of the time on the streets and on the street corners. And people were hearing about the things that God was doing and was going to do. And people kept getting a little cool. They got to where they just didn't pay them any attention. They just let their message slide by without any thought whatsoever. And they were all three saying, if you don't get it back in gear, God will move you out of here and put you into captivity for 70 years. So the most of the folk that would go into captivity would die before they ever had an opportunity to come back. With that serious threat, they paid them no attention. They just went on with doing their thing. So when we come here to Ezekiel chapter number 16, it says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me." That's Ezekiel, of course, saying, "Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations." Now, she's a great city. She's a fair city. She has the great temple, all of those things. But they're doing things that are abominable. They are making themselves an abomination. Let me tell you, God's a great God of love, but He's also a God of justice. And you'd do wise not to mess around with things that God said don't touch. You'd be wise to stay out of the holes that God tells you to stay out of. You'd be wise to stay in the house of God as God directs you to. But they didn't do it. And it got to the where they were putting signs on their buses, I guess, if they'd have had a bus. They got to where preachers were having little nips out of the bottle when they thought the membership was not looking. They got to where they were doing abominable things. So God said, "Ezekiel, I want you to show them what's happening." Then in verse 3, "And say, thus saith the Lord God of Jerusalem." Now this is important. "Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity." Now he said, "I want to tell you where you came from. I want to tell you when you and I got together." This is God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. He said, "As for thy birth and nativity, is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite." He's giving them a story here, showing them what has happened to them. And he said, "Your birth is like a young woman who's to have a child. But it's an unwed mother that's about to have this child. And she didn't want the child. She hated it in her bosom. And the father didn't want it. So here's a mother carrying an unwanted basket, baby. And one day the baby is born. God said, as for thy nativity, in the day that thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee. He's giving them something to go by now. He said, you're just like this woman that had the baby, and she didn't want it. She hated it. One day the baby was born, and when it was born, she was alone. There was no one there to take the baby and cut the little cord and do it up and put the little band around as physicians do. Wasn't anybody there to do that. She went alone to have the infant, to have the child. And when it was born, there wasn't anybody there to take the baby in a warm blanket. There wasn't anybody there to wash the little girl in saline solution. There wasn't anybody there to look after the things that ought to be done. There wasn't anybody there to swaddle the baby in the little cloth and love it to their bosom and welcome it to the world. She had the baby alone. When she had the baby, she didn't put it in a shoebox and take it to the fire department. When she had the baby, she didn't take it to the hospital. If you're anxious to know what she did, she threw it away. Now, this gets serious, isn't it? Here's a brand new baby been born, and Mama throws it out into an open field. I don't know if it is winter or summer. If it is summer, the hot sun will soon take the little infant's life. If it was in the winter, Jack Frost will soon snap the life right out of the child. It's out here alone in the field. And with the liquids of birth all over its body, when she threw it out, I'm sure it rolled over and over and picked up dirt and leaves and trash and all kinds of things on its little body. And I'm saying, baby, you won't do any good to wave your hand. No one will see it. You're alone. You're lost. You're gone. You're dead. It won't do any good to kick your little feet up. No one will see them. There's no one out here. If you cry, baby, and cry loud, no one will hear it. There's no one out here. You're alone. You're lost. God is saying, Jerusalem, that's what you were like when I found you. That's what you were like. You were out here by yourself. And then in verse 5, he said, none I pitied thee. Nobody was out there to show any pity, to show any love, to show any help, to show any concern. Man, I get to feeling bad when I read this and think about a stupid mother who'd throw the baby out like this and leave it. It's going to die just as sure as shooting if something unusual doesn't happen. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion on thee. Now, compassion is love like in action. Sometimes we see little children come in from play, and they look a mess. But their loving mother has compassion on them. She washes them all up and gets some clean clothes. I heard about one mother who looked in and saw her little boy come in. She said, I believe I can get another one easier and I can clean this one up. But this one is a real mess. I'm talking about a real mess now. And there's nobody here to show compassion upon thee. And still in verse 6, it said, and when I passed by thee, this is God speaking, oh, nobody showed compassion, but God came. In your own life, when you were lost and forlorn and off in sin and hell was licking at your feet and terrible things were coming to your mind, what you had done, and you didn't have anybody to help you and anybody to clean you up, God came. Isn't it wonderful what God will do? God left His throne and glory and went down to a field because a baby had been thrown away out there. God left His throne and glory and went to a cross outside of Jerusalem because you were lost in the field and didn't know your way home. Couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't get any help. Oh, I love verse 6 when it said, "When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood." What a mess. Every angel in heaven must have gagged when they saw this. Terrible looking little infant. Dirty, messy, muddy, leaves, chaff, wheat straws, everything all over this child. Not a stitch of clothes on him, on her, not no one to help her whatsoever. God said, "When I passed by thee, thou wast polluted in thine own blood." You were a mess. And I don't want to get into what a mess you were in, you know, without me telling you. You know, I got under conviction about my sin when I was just about 6 years old. And I didn't get saved until I was 9 years old. But oh, I went to bed many nights thinking about, I'm not fit to go to heaven. And I'd heard that little prayer, if I should die before I wake, take my soul. Well, I knew God couldn't take my soul. I knew I was lost. I knew I was a vulgar-looking sight. I knew I was a pitiful-looking sight. Oh, I hadn't robbed any banks, but I was a sinner. I had said no to the Holy Spirit of God, which is one of the worst things you can possibly do. It defiles your person all the way along. So God said, "When I passed by you and saw thee polluted in thine blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." Amen. Amen. Our scientists are so smart. They can just do all kinds of things, but they can't make the dead live. They can't give life to anybody. Oh, our hospitals are so great. I had somebody call me on the phone and said, "What's the greatest hospital in all of the Metroplex?" Taking a survey, I said, "How in the world would I know? I've probably been in two of them." "Well, guess at it." I said, "You call somebody else. I don't want to be guessing at that, which I know absolutely nothing about." But when God got out here and saw this baby, the first thing He said was, "Live." Only God can do that. And when you were lost in your sin, going to church didn't help it any. Getting baptized wouldn't help it any. The only thing going to help you is for God to come and communicate life to you. And He could do it through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The first thing He said was, "Live, baby, don't die. I'm here now." And let me tell you something, when God's there and you are there, even in your rotten sin, you don't have to die that way. God will give you life. He said, "Live, baby." And I said unto thee, "When thou wast in thy blood, live." Two times, right here in the same verse. God wants you to understand He's the life giver. God wants you to understand that when a child is lost, the only way they can get saved is for God to do something for it. Look at verse 8. "And when I passed by thee," this is the second time we've had this now, "when I passed by thee and looked upon thee." Nobody else can see this baby. It's out in an open field. It's lost. No one knows where it is. No one knows it's there except the mother, and she's run away and not to see the baby die. And God said, "When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love." Oh, we talk a lot about the love of God, don't we? A lot of people sit around on a gunny sack smoking marijuana, sticking up one finger and talking about the love of God. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know anything about it. And you don't know anything about the love of God until you see Him willing to come down off His throne in glory out into an open field where a dirty baby lies, and is willing to say, "Live, baby, don't die. Live, I'm here, I'm going to help you." That's the love of God. That's the love of God. When you see that cross outside of Jerusalem, Jesus Christ hanging on it, that's the love of God. "But when I passed by thee and saw thee and looked upon thee, thy time was the time of love." and I spread my skirt over thee. God, don't you have a spotless white robe? Yes. If you spread that spotless white robe over that dirty baby, it's going to get you messed up. But God did not care. If His heavenly robe got dirty in the dirt of the world, as long as He could save the child. And He said, Jerusalem, you're like a child. I'll have to do for you what was done for the baby. God, if you spread your robe over that child. Now these mothers that are sitting out here have been in large cities, particularly in the north, where it's so cold. And you see a little child running around the streets in Chicago and with a dirty nose. Every one of you would say, well, I wish I had that kid at my house for a little while. I'd get that kid in the bathtub and I'd slick it up like you wouldn't believe. I'd clean that nose up. I'd comb that hair. That's a mother's love. Well, if a mother has that kind of love, think what kind of love God has. God said, I'm going to spread my skirt over you, baby. If it's hot, I don't want the sun to shine on you anymore. If it's cold, I don't want the wind to blow on you anymore. Oh, God's concerned about a lost baby out yonder in the wilderness. God was concerned about me, a lost boy, when I was out in the wilderness of sin. And He came to me and spread His robe over me. Look at this now. I like this, don't you? Amen. This is good stuff. He said, I spread my robe over thee and covered thy nakedness. This baby didn't have any clothes. I tell you, I didn't hardly have any human clothes when I was 9 years old, much less any heavenly clothes. God came to me, spread His robe over me. I wear these J.C. Penney jobs down here, but when I get over there, He's going to give me one of those good robes, and I'll get to wear it over there. So He said, I spread my robe over thee and covered thy nakedness. Sin makes you naked. You know that? You'll stand in the presence of God naked. You'd be so embarrassed you'd go to hell rather than face God. I promise you. So He said, I covered your nakedness. And then I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant. God said, I made a covenant with you. If God makes a covenant, He'll keep it. If God makes an agreement, He'll keep it. If God makes a promise, He'll keep it. God said, I raised up my hand, put my other hand on my head, because I could swear by no greater. I swear by myself. And I said, baby, you're mine. I'm entering into a covenant with you. You're mine. You know, I had that experience. So don't you pick on me. I belong to Him. You get yourself in trouble. All right. God said, I swear by myself. I swear an oath. And before this naked little child, I swear an oath and said, you are mine. And I covered thy nakedness and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Mine. Doesn't it sound good to say, I'm His? Doesn't it feel good to say, I'm His. Let the world go rot and go to hell. It'll matter but little. I'm His. If I'm 120 when I die, or if I die next week or this week, it'll matter not. I am His. I've got a home here in Fort Worth. I've got another home waiting over yonder. And I'm in a covenant relationship with God. Doesn't depend on how good I am. Or how bad. Doesn't it depend on whether I preach good or preach bad. It just depends on God carrying out His deal. And His deal is, you're mine, and I've got a house for you in glory. So He said, baby, I'm going to take care of you. You belong to me. And so I'll see that everything's all right. Now look at verse number 9. Then washed I thee with water. Filthy thing. Oh, don't you know God's a tender, loving washer? Didn't He wash you kindly and tenderly? Didn't He wash you lovingly? He didn't grab you by the heels and hold you up and say, "You dirty thing, I can't stand the dirty kid." No, sir. God loved you up to Himself and got your dirt all over His bosom. And He said, "I wash thee with water." He said, "But Hawkins, you getting all of that out of the Old Testament?" Well, it's still God's book, whichever side is I'm getting it from. But you want to hear some New Testament stuff along this same line that'll work on this very same principle? Now, you don't have to turn here now. Just listen. It said, "For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another." I'm not reading the Fort Worth Star Telegram. I'm reading the Bible. Sounds like a telegram, though, doesn't it? Listen now. "But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appear, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration." Amen. I've had that laundering. I know about it. By the washing of regeneration. That's New Testament. But I got to get back here to my Ezekiel for a minute. It said, "I washed thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil." Oh, we got a slick baby now. You know why? God put oil all over it. Smooth as it can be. Just as smooth as it can be. I can remember the day I got oil. I remember how great it was. And you know, I've been saved now 82 years. And during that time, once in a while, I feel kind of rough. And I say, "Lord, give me a couple of drops of that oil again. I need another oiling if you don't mind." And He doesn't mind. He's always come through with it. So He said, "I anointed thee with oil." Look at verse 10. "I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin." I made you some little shoes out of badger skin. "And I girded thee about with linen. I covered thee with silk. I decked thee with ornaments, and I put a bracelet upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck." This kid looks pretty good now, doesn't he? Looking better all the time. And I'll tell you, when you were lost in sin, you were a mess. I didn't know you then, but I know what you were like. Oh, when God comes and does the washing and does the clothing, puts some shoes on your feet, and then decks you with ornaments and a bracelet on your hand and a chain on your neck and a jewel in your forehead and earrings and a beautiful crown upon thy head. "Thou wast decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat the flour and honey and oil and all the other things I had for you." Boy, things are looking up now, aren't they? Do you know what? This little girl, God loved this little girl and reared her in the very best fashion. She was a beauty. But you know what happened when she got grown? She became a harlot. God said, "Jerusalem, I washed you all up back down there. And I called you for my very own. I made a covenant with you. You turned out to be a harlot. Something bad's going to happen to you. I'm not going to send you to hell. But I'm going to send you away in captivity for 70 years. Oh, tragic thing. I've said all that to be able to say to you, that when you're God's child, you are free. But you're not free to do every devilish thing the devil puts in your mind. You are not free to go everywhere you used to go. You are not free to say everything you used to say. You are not free to read everything you can find on the newsstand. You better do your reading in the book, the big book. So I'm telling you tonight, all the great things that God has done for us, dare any of us at this church grow cold, careless, disobedient, unthankful? Serious, isn't it? We better know where the narrow road is, and we better get on it. And by God's grace, we better stay on it. Now that I've read you this thing, I'll tell you that 70 years came upon them very soon. They were in a heathen land, treated worse than slaves were ever treated in America. Treated worse than you can imagine. And sometime we'll talk about it at length, but not now. I just want to conclude by saying to you, oh, it's a loving God who will get us out of the dirt and wash us clean. It's a loving God that will clothe us with the righteousness of the saints of God. It's a loving God that will take us unto Himself. I beg of you, don't let this world drag you down. And if you can feel that drag already, and you'd like to come down here and bend down your knee and say, Lord God, I'm sorry. I really need your help. You need to come and say, Dr. Henson, I'm that dirty child you talked about. I've never been washed. Stand up. Stand up.